Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Thanks. Thank you. I had to like sit down there and like take some deep breaths because Holy Spirit was moving during worship, wasn't he? Like I had to like get myself under control here. Because I think there's some powerful truths that he wants to speak over us today. And I had to like slow myself down. God, I just pray right now that you'll just help me to rightly deliver the words that you have put on my heart to deliver today. God, I pray for ears to be open to hear what you are speaking. And for hearts to be softened and receive the words that you're giving us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone, get out your Bibles and hold them up. We're practicing the discipline of bringing our physical Bibles to church with us. While I'm getting ready to preach today, I want you to just get ready and open up to Matthew chapter 20. Keep your finger there, and also turn to Daniel chapter 3. Those are going to be the two places where we are today. We are concluding this series called Step Off the Podium. I want you guys to understand, I'm hoping that I can paint this picture for you, how Holy Spirit goes before us and prepares our message series for the times in which we are living. Because when the four pastors, sat down and planned out our series that were for the year 2026, we sat down in September together for a weekend and planned out the series that we're going to be focusing on for 2026 and went through the book of Matthew and what we're going to be looking at. I can promise you this. The fact that the Winter Olympics were coming in February of 2026 never, ever, ever crossed our mind. That was nowhere on the table. But do you know who knew? Holy Spirit knew what was going on. He knew it was coming. And I find it so amazing that he orchestrated it, that we kick off this series the week before the Olympics. The opening ceremonies, and we're concluding the series on the last day of the Winter Olympics. Come on. Guys, do you not find that pretty amazing how he does that? Like, that is crazy. That is crazy. And who cares about the Olympics? I do, first of all. So if you already know who won the gold medal game for men's hockey between USA and Canada, keep your mouth shut. I don't want to know. I'm going home to watch it, so don't tell me. Don't tell me who won. Sam, I see you on your phone. Don't tell me. Don't tell me who it is. Okay? I'm watching this game, and I'm going to be cheering for my team. But I think it's pretty amazing how Holy Spirit gave us a physical representation of what the podium means as he's talking to us about spiritually what it looks like to step off the podium. Okay? Because for every Olympic athlete that goes, the podium is like what dreams are made of, right? Every athlete that goes to the Olympics has a dream of stepping on the podium. And let me tell you something. They don't care. Yes, gold is great, but the podium itself is the place where they want to be. I was watching the speed skating race yesterday, and at the finals, US was like just inching in. Like, the lady was inching in to get third place. And let me tell you, she wasn't like, oh, I got bronze. I really wanted that gold. She was like, woo! I did it! That was her attitude. There was no, like, disregard for the third place. She was on the podium, right? She was so excited because the podium itself represents recognition. It represents financial security for many of these athletes with sponsors and scholarships. It represents honor. And there's like remembrance of them. And I want to tell you something. Those things, financial security, honor, recognition, those aren't bad in and of themselves. There's nothing necessarily wrong with them. But when those things become the things that we seek after, instead of the one who provides and gives and deserves all the honor and praise, then the podium of our life becomes an altar to ourselves. Right? When those are the things, when we are seeking after the things that the podium offers, instead of seeking after the one who gave it all, the podium of our life becomes an altar to ourselves. And as we conclude this series, we are going back to our theme for the year. Our theme for the year is even if. Even if. And in our anchor passage for even if is found in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. If you weren't here for the message that kicked off this theme, let me just give you a quick background of what's happening. The Hebrew nation, the Israelites, have been taken captive into Babylon. They are now in Babylon, and they are being trained under the Babylonian Empire. And the king of the Babylonian Empire is Nebuchadnezzar. And at this specific event, Nebuchadnezzar has built a huge golden statue. I'm assuming it's a golden statue of himself. We don't really told in scripture what the golden statue looks like, but it's gigantic. And he gives the command to everyone that when you hear the music play loudly, that's your cue to drop wherever you are and bow down in worship to this golden statue. And there's these three men who have been trained in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. They've been given Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in order to make them forget the God whom they serve. And they do not bow. They stand. They keep standing when that music plays. And the people around them are like, them in trouble. And they go to Nebuchadnezzar and they're like, listen, those three men over there, they're not bowing. And Nebuchadnezzar pulls them up. And because they've been trained in his palace, I think he has a little bit of a soft spot for them. So he's giving them another chance. And he says, listen, guys, I'm going to give you one more chance. When that music plays, you must bow down and worship, or I have to throw you in this furnace to be burned to death. And these three men respond to him. Found in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But what? But let me try that again. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Woo! Today's passage in Matthew introduces us to two men who decided that what Jesus had was far better than what they had and what was given to them, even if they knew everything was about to change. Here's what I want to make you aware of. We're going to be looking at three specific areas that these men were challenged in, and that God's probably challenging some of you in today. I want you to be aware of how your spirit is responding. And if you start feeling like your heart's racing, if you start feeling a little sweaty, if you start feeling like there's heat running down your body, if you start feeling like electricity is shooting through your arms, shooting through your back, if you start crying, you need to know Holy Spirit is nudging you and he's talking to you and he's saying, this is about you. I want to talk to you about this area. Pay attention. I'm about ready to bring you freedom. You got to step out. Even if it's hard, are you going to do it? Whoo. All right. Got a little excited there. Calm down. Okay. Sometimes I have to calm myself down because, like, Holy Spirit hits me and I just, I'm like, whew. So I gotta. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34, we find Jesus walking down a road and these two men, see him. No, they don't see him. You're gonna find why that statement is really funny. As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men, see, they didn't see him. Two blind men, gosh, that was funny, it's okay. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting. Okay, we have to read scripture the way that it was written. We have to read it in the context that it was written, all right? So when we read scripture and we say it was shouting, Jesus, Lord, Son of David. No, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us, right? There's desperation. Be quiet, the crowd yelled at them. But they only shouted louder. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. When Jesus heard them, he stopped and he called. What do you want me to do for you? The Lord, they said, we want to see. Jesus felt sorry for them, and he touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. Then they followed him. The actions of these two men brought to mind some questions and some statements. As we go through these questions and statements, this is where I want you paying attention. How is your spirit responding to what God is saying? Okay? Here's the first question that I believe these men had to answer, and we have to answer too. Are you willing to go after Jesus even if your financial security is threatened? What? Paula, where did you even get that? Where do you get that their financial security was threatened? Well, let me tell you. I know, you know, because you just read it with me, that these men were blind. They were disabled, okay? They were cared for by society. They sat alongside the road. And they were given money, they were given food, they were given things to meet their needs by the people passing by. Because that was That was the way of society. That was the way of culture, to take care of those who were unable to take care of themselves. By those men shouting out to Jesus, they were declaring and they were indicating, we don't want what society is giving us. We don't want the provision from society. We want you. I also want you to know this. They were also declaring his identity. There was a supernatural declaration of who he was, in case other people didn't know who he was. They said, Lord, Son of David. And previously, when people would call out and identify who he was, he'd be like, shh, 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 quiet. Or he would heal them and then say, don't tell anybody who did this. Now, his earthly ministry is coming to an end. We know from a couple of weeks ago that he has now turned and he is walking in the direction of Jerusalem. He is walking to the place where he's going to be killed. He is walking towards his death. He's a little over a week away from facing the cross at this point. He doesn't care who knows anymore. Anonymity is over. Okay? I want you to understand something that these men were saying. These men were saying, in you and you alone is our provision. Everything we have comes from you. I want you to hear this. The government in which you live under is not your provider. Do you hear me? The government in which you live under is not your provider. I will say this. Sometimes he uses the government funds to take care of you. And sometimes he challenges you to walk away from those funds and rely on him. You want to know how I know? I can testify. You want to know how I know? Because I was raised by a mom who had 6 kids. And she did it all by herself. She left a marriage that was unhealthy, that was actually dangerous for her. And she set out to take care of these 6 kids on her own. She had no formal education. She had no way of providing well for these 6 kids. We lived, are you ready for this? We lived in a tool shed behind my aunt and uncle's house that my uncle and grandfather had renovated to become a home for my mom and her kids. There was one bed in this house. One bed. How many people were in this house? 7. Right? There's one bed. We had no hot water. We did have running water, but no hot water. And no bathroom. Do you hear me? No bathroom. If we had to use the bathroom, we either had to go to my aunt and uncle's house or my grandparents' house, or we squatted outside. Well, my brothers didn't squat. But anyhow, I don't know why I just said that. Humor kills the mood a little bit, or lightens the mood. Guys, I didn't have a bathroom until I was 9 years old. Do you hear me? And my mom was getting ready. She was like, I have got to take care of these 6 kids. And so she was getting ready to go, and there was no computer, so you had to actually go to the office and fill out the paperwork in order to get, like, government food, right? So she's going to apply for government assistance to help raise her kids, and God just lovingly tapped her on the shoulder. And he said, everything you need is in me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be your kids' father. I'm going to be your husband. I just need you to trust me. And I want you to know something. Not one time in my life did we go without food in our house. Not one time. Listen, we had a lot of like mashed potatoes and hamburger gravy because that's cheap. We ate a lot of pancakes. But I always went to bed with food in my stomach. I always had clothes to wear. I always had shoes on my feet because my father took care of my needs. My father was our provider. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it is not wrong that if you have assistance, if you have food stamps, if you have OHP, it is not, that is not wrong. But let me tell you this, OHP is not your provider. EBT is not your provider. Social Security is not your provider. Jehovah Jireh is your provider. And Abraham recognized who his provider was, as God had told him to go and sacrifice the one thing that meant so much to him, his son. And he goes up, and his son is asking him, like, hey, Dad, where's the goat? Where's the sheep for the offering? And Abraham knows what God has asked of him, and Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. And they get to the top of the mountain, and in Genesis chapter 23, verses 13 to 14, it says they got to the top of the mountain, and Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. This tells me that at the time, as Moses is writing this passage under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and Moses is writing this, he's like, this happened then, but to this day, we're still talking about it. And we're saying, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. This tells me that his provision is contingent upon my proximity to his presence. Do you hear me? If I want Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh to provide for me, I better be seeking his presence. Right? I can't just expect him to show up when I'm over here trying to figure it out myself. And these men who've been provided for by society for so long are saying, we don't trust in them, we trust in you. We want what you have, Jesus. The statement that they were making is this: I am going to choose what Jesus is offering, even if it means stepping into the unknown. The next question that comes to me is this: are you willing to go after Jesus even if you are told to be quiet? In Matthew chapter 20, it says, "Be quiet!" The crowd yelled at them, but they shouted even louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." You see, that crowd was very happy to keep those two men right where they were. The enemy would love to keep you right where you are. He's very comfortable with keeping you depending on other people, depending on yourself, depending on your circumstances. And society was very happy to keep them right where they were. They didn't want them drawing attention to themselves. And our theme for the year, even if, is a challenge to the demonic stronghold of fear of man. Because fear of man would tell you to be quiet. Fear of man would say, don't say that. People might get mad at you. Don't say that. That doesn't make sense. Don't do that. You're going to look weird. Fear of man tells us every lie imaginable in order to keep us silent, hidden, and imprisoned. But when fear of man tells you to be quiet, you have to shout even louder, right? Just like those three men said, the God whom I serve is able to rescue me. And even if he doesn't, I will not bow, oh majesty. I like to put my own little like sass in there because I really believe that's how they said it. In Psalms chapter 56, verse 11, the author said this, I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? What can man do to you? If you trust in God, what can another person do to you? Nothing. What could fear, what can a demonic stronghold do to you? Nothing. Because you have the authority over that demonic stronghold to say, shut up. You don't get a voice in my life. So the statement that we make to that question is this. I'm going after Jesus even if fear of man tries to silence me. The final question that I have for you is this. Are you willing to ask Jesus to heal you even if he doesn't act on your timeline? In the passage today, it says Jesus heard them, he stopped, and he called out to them, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, they said, we want to see. They didn't say, we need some food. They didn't say, we need some money. They didn't say, we need some clothes. They said, we want to see. We want our situation to change. We want to go after you. Because it said he felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Instantly they could see. And what did they do? They followed him. They got up and they followed him. Jesus is our healer. And everything provided for our healing is found in him. The prophet Isaiah wrote in a messianic prophecy about what Jesus would do for us. And it says in 53:5, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. I want you to understand something, that sometimes healing is instantaneous. It happens right then. And sometimes it happens over a period of time. Sometimes our healing happens as we step into eternity and are face to face with our Father. But he always heals. He always answers. Sometimes something is needed of us in order for him to heal us. Sometimes we're carrying around unforgiveness and bitterness. And he's like, we got to deal with this first. Sometimes we haven't been obedient to the last thing he's asked us to do. And he's like, man, as soon as you go back and say yes to me, like, I'm all in. I'm here. Sometimes there's something that we're needing to do in order for that healing to happen. But I do know this, that when we ask for healing, Jesus is filled with compassion for us. You know how I know that? Because it says that in our passage. It says that when those men cried out to him, he was filled with compassion for them. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that if he was filled with compassion for the people who were asking him to heal them yesterday, he's filled with compassion for the people who are asking him to heal him today. And he'll be filled with compassion to the people that are asking him to heal him them tomorrow, because his character doesn't change. He can't change. He loves you. Are you willing to say that I trust Jesus even if the healing doesn't look the way I think it should look? As we're closing up today, I'm going to invite my leadership team and my overflow team just to take the positions that I had you take earlier. And I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your heads. Close your eyes for a moment. Because before we can step into what God's saying to us, I need to make sure that everyone here has an opportunity to first come into relationship with Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you have never stepped into that relationship with him. You've never said yes to him to become Lord and Savior of your life, to forgive you of the things that you have done wrong, to direct you on a path so you no longer walk in that way of life. Maybe you have before and you have walked away from him. You are not walking with Jesus any longer. And today you recognize, like, that's my first step. I need to say yes to Jesus and come into relationship with him. If that's you right now, I just want you to raise your hand loud. Hi, not loud. Hi. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I'm going to invite everyone just to stand right now. And we're going to say this prayer out loud. Jesus, I need you. I recognize that you are the Son of God who died for me. I accept your forgiveness. I invite you to lead my life. Holy Spirit, make your home within me. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe as I was speaking today, you recognize that God was pulling on you. You recognized him moving in a way on the different ways that I was, that we were talking about, in order of trusting with your finances, in ways of fear of man and how you always bow to fear of man, in ways of physical healing and God wanting to heal your body. And here's what I'm going to give you an opportunity to do. If you have been struggling to trust God with your finances, to trust him to be your provider, to trust him that everything you need is found in him, this group of people over here want to pray with you. Move right now. Come get prayed for. If you've been struggling with fear of man and bowing down when people will tell you to be quiet, when people make you feel embarrassed, you've partnered with fear so many times, it's your normal. Right here, come pray. If your body, your mind, your soul is in need of healing, there's something within you that needs the touch of the healer. Right here, in front of the baptismal. I'm just gonna invite you, move right now. Move right now. The Spirit is leading you. The Spirit is drawing you. There is his presence for healing. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.